thank you, Father. Father God, we just thank you and we praise you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here tonight. And we thank you, Father, that you have a plan and a purpose for their life. And Father God, we thank you that they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. Father God, we thank you tonight as we go to study your word. We thank you, Father, that your word will not return void, but Father God, that that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. And help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. But Father God, we thank you that we'll take that word that brings forth life in our soul, and we'll go out and share it with the people who are down and out, and the people that are hurting, the people that need to hear the love of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for revival to this generation, for revival to this nation. We thank you, Father, for revival to this city. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And we thank you today. We come not in our own strength. We come not in our own power. We come not in our own authority, but we come in your strength, your power, your authority, that you lift us up. And we thank you, Father, today as we go to minister, that they will not see me ministering, but they'll see you ministering through me. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we thank you for your anointing that's present tonight. That anointing that saturates us, that anointing that changes us, that anointing that sets us free in an instant. And we just thank you, Father, for everything you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. God's a good God. Amen. So hopefully that some of you ladies were able to get your flame kindled this week. I didn't get my flame kindled at all. All right. Tonight I want to talk to you about a subject my wife and I were talking the other day about, and just kind of spurned some things on the inside. You know, sometimes people wonder, well, how do you come up with certain messages? Well, like I said, me and my wife were talking about some stuff. People, we were reading some statuses on social media, and this one person was having trouble with their love walk. And, you know, we started thinking about, why do so many Christians have trouble with their love walk? Of course, we've talked about the love of God here and here at church before, but turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22, and let's see what Jesus says about love. Matthew chapter 22, and starting with verse number 36, and I know some of you are trying to find it, but anyway, someone came in and asked Jesus. They said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Now, that is the first commandment, so most people figure that probably is the greatest commandment. But then after that, it's interesting what Jesus said. "And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands hang all of the law and the prophets." Now, it's pretty wild that those two commands are as good as all the law and all the prophets. Now, you understand, whenever, you know, he's talking to, you know, a good Jewish citizen there, and, you know, obviously that we're supposed to follow the law of Moses, and we're also supposed to follow the law of the prophets, and Jesus told them that if you can't love one another, and you can't love God, then you really, you know, it doesn't matter if you follow all the other laws. Now, a lot of people say, well, I don't have any trouble loving God, you know, because God always loves them back. The problem has to do with whenever they're trying to love somebody that do not love them back. That's the issue. But Jesus didn't say love when you're loved. Remember, he didn't say, you know, he said do unto others as you would have them do unto you, not before they do it to you, you know. Now, it's interesting when he says this, he says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And I do want to point out, he's not talking about the person next door. All right, some people, you know, they think, well, their neighbor is the person next door. Well, the neighbor could be the people in the next state, the next country, you know, a neighboring country or whatever. But, you know, and it says that you shall love them as yourself. Now that's saying something pretty big. You know, you shall love them as, you know, because people are selfish. We live in a selfish generation. In fact, this is the first generation ever that takes pictures of themselves and puts it for other people to see, you know, called selfies. And, you know, I'm guilty of taking some myself. But it's interesting, you know, but the Bible talks about in the last days there'll be lovers of ourself. But it says, you know, you have to love people as much as you love yourself. Now, here's what I guess you could do is quit loving yourself, and I guess you don't have to love people. But and that is the problem. You know, that's one of the issues why people have trouble loving people is because they don't really love themselves. Because they're a miserable person themselves, they have trouble, you know, reaching out and loving other people. But, you know, it's not really that hard to love people, just like it's not that hard to love God. It's hard to love people when you're trying to love them in your own strength. Now, some people say, well, here's the deal. No one has trouble loving anybody as long as everybody is cool with each other. But when somebody comes, you know, we live in a society right now where we see a lot of hatred. A lot of people, you know, they try to get and push each other's buttons, and there's a lot of hatred. Now, you know, we see a lot of hatreds on the street, but we see even more hatred. It's interesting, when you follow after some of the social media platforms, you see a lot of hatred going back and forth over social media. Now, things aren't coming to blows or anything like that, but, well, sometimes people actually unfollow people and, you know, defriend them, even block them or whatever, which is, you know, which is basically the, you know, it's not a good thing. But, you know, the Bible says that we should love each other. And it's not that hard to love each other. Now, see, here's the deal. We have to remember, what did Jesus do? Did we ever see Jesus hating people? In fact, we actually sing a song in children's church. Jesus loved the little children, all the little children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loved the little children of the world. But then they grow up and Jesus don't like them anymore. No, that's not truth. That's sometimes, you know, I think we think that because, you know, if you talk to the average Christian, they say, I'm going to try to be an imitator of Christ. Well, if you're an imitator of Christ and Jesus loves little children, when they grow up, he still loves them, then you would have to love them, and then you're not doing that, so you're not really an imitator of Christ. You're a liar. Anyway, I mean, you know, I'm not trying to be mean, but the thing is that Christ loves people. In fact, the whole reason that Jesus even came, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. It's interesting that God loves the world, but a lot of Christians do not love the world. Now, they love other Christians. They love other people that are following after and doing the things that they think should be done. But when somebody does something wrong, they're like, well, they don't like that. Now, here's the thing that I've always had trouble with. You know, if somebody's a sinner, I can't expect them to live life correctly anyway. So, you know, I'm judging someone who doesn't know what to do anyway. You know, I don't expect a sinner to love me because, you know, that's not in their nature. You realize that it's God's nature to love. Now, do you realize that we were born to love? I mean, we were made in the image of God. I mean, I never heard, you know, in Genesis when God created the world that he told them to hate each other and multiply and you know, no, he didn't. And in fact, it's pretty hard to hate people when you're actually related to them. Do you realize everybody in this room is related to Noah and Adam? Obviously Adam because he was the first one, but everybody else died besides Noah and his family, so you have to be related to Noah and Adam. So basically, any person in this world is related to Noah and Adam. Whether they look like you, whether they don't look like you, it doesn't matter. Technically, they're a blood relative. Now, I know some people don't like their blood relatives too, so, you know, maybe, you know, but you know, the fact, you know, it's not normal to not like or love people. Now, but you realize that we wouldn't know anything about love if it wasn't for Adam and Eve eating from the tree of knowledge. I mean, you know, before that, we didn't even wear clothes. I mean, you realize the billions of dollars people spend on clothing wouldn't be spent if it wasn't for Adam and Eve eating from that tree. I mean, you've ever realized that and thought about that, you know? And the funny part about it is, I mean, and this is kind of ironic, you know, the only thing that we can relate now is a TV program called Naked and Afraid. You know, what's the funny part of, you know, it's interesting because Adam and Eve were naked and afraid. So that's, you know, that's why they covered themselves up. And then, you know, the fashion industry started after that at some point in time. And so, you know, the world would be a way different place if it wasn't for Adam and Eve messing up the beginning. You know, it would have been way different. And maybe I know I'm weird, and I think about the kind of, you know, think about how the world would have been completely different than it was is today. But, you know, I think about that. But, you know, the thing about it is Adam and Eve did mess up, but you know what? After they messed up, God loved us so much that he sent his only son. And really, as it was, that was an expression of his love. He was trying to show us how much he does love us, and he was trying to tell us, you know, that I love you. And obviously, you know, we have a couple commands to love God, but also it says the second one is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. A few more scriptures on love. Over in John chapter 13, John the 13th chapter, John chapter 13 and verse 34, Jesus says this, John 13, 34, he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciple if you have love one for another." So, you know, one way that we can know people are Christians is that they love each other. Right. You know, Christians should love each other. Now, if you love each other, you don't fight with each other all the time. Amen. Now, you know, and it's interesting how sometimes, you know, I kind of wonder, do you really know Christ? Because if you really know Christ, you probably wouldn't act the way that you do. You know, like I said, most Christians, they try to say they're a follow after Christ. Well, Jesus said that I give you this commandment to love one another. Now, a lot of times what happens is that what we try to do is love in our own strength. You know, and also we try to be a little selfish about love and about hate. You know, sometimes we'll say, when someone does something to us, we'll say, you know, well, I'm going to get you back, or I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. See, when you start thinking about you, you're not thinking about Jesus. So what you have to do sometimes is whenever people do things, is think about, what would Jesus do in that situation? You know, how did he react? And, you know, when you love God so much, it doesn't bother you anymore. Now, one thing, too, we have to understand is that hate is a learned trait. All right? You weren't born to hate. You were born to love, because we're born in the image of God, and God is love. We had to learn to hate. Now, you know, after you hate enough, then, you know, it becomes second nature. Now, some people say, well, it's just human nature to respond that way. You know, understand, well, human nature is not God's nature, and God designed you to have God's nature, not human nature. Human nature is a learned response to what's going on. And, you know, sometimes people do you wrong. I get that. And sometimes we mess up and get mad. I get that too. But, you know, for the most part is, you know, we should try to love one another. And I think it starts with the way we talk. It starts with, you know, with the way we act. And I know my grandfather was really very strong about the word hate. He would always say that hate should never be in your vocabulary. The only time that you're allowed to use the word hate is if you're talking about, the only person you can actually hate is the devil himself. Anybody else, you're not allowed to hate. Now, you know, understand a lot of times too, if we really think about that, then what we really hate about somebody is not them. What we hate is what's behind what they're doing, because the devil is causing them to do something. But we need to hate the devil, not the person. You know, we've heard the saying, "Don't shoot the messenger." You know, sometimes by hating on somebody, we're basically shooting the messenger. I mean, they can't help it. If you're falling after the devil, they can't help it. All right, they're just doing what they're just doing. They're just being natural. You know, now I get it's a little bit different if this is, you know, a Christian brother, then they're just being stupid. All right, you know, and the thing about it is we have to understand that we're all on different levels. All right, you know, when you first got saved, you know, people didn't expect a whole lot out of you. You know, but if you've been saved for 20 years and still having problems with your love walk, then there's an issue. All right? Well, the issue is you haven't ever worked on it. And, you know, sometimes the way we need to work on it is quit trying to do things in our own strength. Let God help us. Let God help us, because God wants you to walk in love. I mean, you know, but some people get mad because they say, well, I'm trying to walk in love, and I just can't. Well, number one, the Bible says you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Now, understand, you know, Christ gives you the strength to do anything. He can give you the strength to walk in love. Now, and sometimes walking in love is not an easy thing to do. When people come, you know, against you, it's not easy to come back with, you know, kindness when someone comes at you with hatred. You know, and I know one thing that that we probably should all do, especially now, because a lot of things that you see a lot of hatred online, you know, a lot of times if you respond immediately after you read something, sometimes you don't respond in love. But a lot of times if you'll just wait, you know, or sometimes don't say anything. Remember what the old adage is? You know, your mom used to tell you, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. There's many times on social media I just haven't said anything at all because I couldn't say anything nice. So I decided not to say anything. I decided not to keep stirring the pot. Do you realize a lot of people just want to be pot stirrers? They just want to stir the pot and make people more and more angry for whatever reason. You know, I don't think that walking in love is, you know, part of walking in love is making other people more angry. You know, and same thing, even in our own lives. I mean, you know, as a sibling growing up, I'm sure many of you probably did this with your brothers and sisters, but I know that with me and my sister, you know, we were fairly close growing up, and a lot of times that we traveled, and so I didn't have a lot of other, you know, people to play with or to even pick on or whatever. So there are some times that I used to try to push my sister's buttons just because. And everything would go great until she started screaming, and then I'd get a whipping, and, you know, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, a lot of times that we do that in life. We just push people's buttons to push their buttons. You know, and you know, sometimes we do it with our husbands and wives. Sometimes we do it with our family members. And, you know, but we need to do better about walking in love. And how do you do that? You just simply let God take control. I mean, you know, quit trying to do things in your own strength. And a lot of times that it works really easy if you just don't respond. I mean, just don't respond. You don't have to say anything. You know, it seems that in our world we want to always get the last word, but sometimes we just need to quit talking. Because if we keep talking, we're not going to give them the word of God. We're going to give them a piece of our mind. And that's not the right thing to do. And so a lot of times we just have to, you know, quit talking. And, you know, what I try to do is I make excuses for people. You know, just because they say something ignorant, I just make an excuse that they just didn't know any better. They didn't mean to hurt my feelings. They didn't mean to hurt somebody else's feelings. And sometimes people don't mean to. You realize people do things sometimes with their intention was not really to hurt your feelings or step on your toes. And they didn't think about things, you know, and sometimes we take offense of things that really weren't mean to be, you know, they weren't doing it to so we would take offense at it. They would just thought it was a good thing. You know, it's you know, it's the same kind of thing of answering your wife on a text message and she doesn't realize what you're thinking. Like many times when I've answered fine. You know, fine means I don't care. But she took it to mean fine, like, you know, I care, but just do it anyway or whatever. And that, you know, I didn't mean to make, you know, to cause an issue. And so I just meant to answer a question. That's why I started saying, okay. You know, And then some, but there are some times like, well, just okay, you don't really care. I mean, you know, so, but I don't come back and say fine. I'm like, you know, just do what you want to do. And in fact, you know, if you want to keep peace in your house, a lot of times, you know, the answer is yes. And it makes things more peaceful. Now, you know, and I just wanted to be honest. So a lot of times in my own life, even here the last few years, I've actually worked on not causing more strife. You know, there's been many times that I find myself in a situation where I actually could respond one way or I could respond another way. And I try to think ahead of time, if I respond this way, what will happen? If I respond another way, what will happen? Or if I just don't respond at all, what's going to happen? You know, and I've been doing a better job of diffusing the effort. Because see, what happens, it's easier to walk in love when people aren't arguing. You know, but when, you know, people get, like I said, they start getting people to a point, it's hard. So what you probably, what I've done is don't get myself to that point where I have a tendency not to walk in love. You know, don't let my guilt get to that tendency. And if I see myself getting to that tendency where I might want to lash out, I might not want to be as nice as I probably should, I just slow down, I stop, I think. You know, a lot of times if we think about things, you know, and you know, another thing is, it's really, I know it sounds like, you know, it's rocket science, but why don't you ask the Lord to help you in a situation? You know, the Bible says, where you're weak, he is strong. If this is, we all have weak areas, we all have strong areas, all right? If this is an area where you're real weak in, ask the Lord to help you, you know, just be a nicer person. You know, a lot of times it actually just starts just being nice. You know, giving more compliments to people. I mean, you know, if people kind of have the thought pattern that you're kind of a stuck in the mud type person and you're not really, you know, a nice type, you know, as nice as you should be, if you start being more complimentary, you know, it just change your atmosphere. You know, I don't, you know, walking in love is not hard for me to do. Number one, it shouldn't be hard. It's easy. It's easy to walk in love. We were born with the God nature. And like I said, God is love. So here we are in John 13. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. It's not that hard to love each other. I mean, it's not. Then over in John chapter 15 and verse number 12, Jesus says this. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So you know what? When you follow after after Jesus and his ministry, we see him walking in love. And you know, by him seeing him walking in love, then we should be able to walk that same way. That's following after what Jesus would do. In verse 17, he says this. He says, these things I command you, that you love one another. So, you know, I think it's important to Jesus that we do love one another. He said it was, you know, the second greatest commandment to love one another. And he says it was just like the first one, to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your understanding. You know, and I have an issue that a lot of Christians think that they have issues walking in love. Because, you know, I'm not made to hate people. I wasn't born to hate people. And, you know, but, you know, you realize a lot of Christians are known for whatever reason. I'm not saying you are a hater, but there's a lot of Christians, a lot of the world think Christians hate other people. You know, and sometimes because, you know, we hate sin, but we can hate sin and not hate people. Right. All right. Do you understand? You know, I'll give you a great example. All right, there are a lot of people, people that I know, people that I don't know, but I've seen a lot of young people here recently that have died of drug overdoses. Now, I'm not mad at the person. I'm mad at the devil. You know, I'm mad that that situation happens, and to see these young people dying of a drug overdose. You know, I've been there with people that have drug issues. You know, and for whatever reason, they can't solve their own problem. And really, they can't without God. You know, you have to do it in God's strength, not in your own strength. But that's the same way when it comes to walking in love. It's not in your own strength, it's in God's strength. You let God help you. But, you know, why should I get mad at somebody because they died of a drug overdose? I'm not mad at them. I'm mad at Satan. You know, and a lot of times we see people and we get mad at them for whatever reason. You know, and a lot of times I'm not saying they can't help it because they can, but for whatever reason, they're just doing the human thing. All right? But, you know, we as Christians, I mean, we should walk in love. I mean, you know, we have great examples. Whenever they found some, you know, this lady that was you know, caught in the act of adultery, they brought him to Jesus. And Jesus basically said, he says that if you don't have any sin, start throwing stones. Nobody threw any stones. You know, and here's the deal. Maybe your sins aren't as bad as in your own mind as that person's sin, but we've all come short of the glory of God. We all have done things that we shouldn't do. You know what? But praise God, God loves us anyhow. You know, and because his mercy and grace and forgiveness that, you know, that we can keep going. But because his mercy and grace and forgiveness, we should show the same mercy and grace and forgiveness toward other people. You know, and that's the thing. And by that, people will know that we follow after Christ. Now, it is also interesting over in 2 Timothy chapter 1, when Paul was talking to Timothy, and we read this a lot when it comes to people being afraid, but it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So God has given us love. You know, and the love of God has been shed abroad in their heart. And it's not hard to love people. You know, a lot of times people say, well, but yeah, but they don't deserve it. You know, and I think for a Christian to say that, you're being a hypocrite. Because we get a lot of things we don't deserve. I mean, you know, we don't deserve it, but because of the grace, mercy, and love of God, you know. And so I see people all the time, well, they don't deserve that. But you know what? God has compassion on us whether or not we deserve it or not. Yeah. And the Bible says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. So there's nothing that we can do to cause God not to love us. But you know what? If we have that same love for each other, that means there's nothing that anybody else could do to cause you not to love them. And they say, well, yeah, but that sounds incredibly hard. Well, it's incredibly hard if you're trying to love people in your own strength. I mean, you know, you have to find a way to just let it go. Understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, rulers from high. You know, it's the devil. Do you realize the hate doesn't come from God? Love comes from God. When people are hateful, it's because they're just acting out. You know, because they're doing what we call human nature. They're not walking in the nature of God. All right? And so what we need to do is to renew our mind. Do you realize that whenever we renew our mind, then we don't think hateful thoughts? Because if you think about Jesus, you can't think hateful thoughts. You know, and sometimes what I try to do is whenever I have opportunities to be angry, to not walk in love, I try to just go to God and begin to pray and renew my mind and think, you know, think differently. But, you know, after a while, you realize, you know, hatred, like I said, is a learned trait. You know, God didn't give Adam and Eve hatred. It came from the devil. All right? But, you know, walking in love can also be learned. You know, once you develop an attitude of love, it's really easy to continue in that attitude. You know, and now obviously it really helps if you have somebody there to help you. Somebody that my grandfather was just, you know, I mean, to watch his life was incredible. To see how much mercy and love and forgiveness he had toward people was incredible. I mean, you know, I know people that would do things and say things to him, and he wouldn't let it bother him. You know, and because of that, you know, I am who I am today because of an example. And, you know, not everyone has that example. Maybe you live with a father or a grandfather that was very hateful. That was very mad. It was very angry, you know. But the thing about it is that what we find is that when people mess up, you know, sometimes we mess up. Has anyone here ever messed up and not walked in love? I mean, I've done it many times. We've all done it. We've all said things we shouldn't have said. We've all done things we shouldn't have done. But what we have to do is we have to understand that when we mess up, when we don't walk in love, don't condemn ourselves. You know, because that's what happens is we get mad at ourselves. Well, you mess up again. See, what happens is the devil tries to put us under condemnation. But whenever you mess up, what do you need to do? Go to the person, tell them, you know what, I'm sorry. You know, I shouldn't have done that. Even if they're not a Christian. I mean, I've gone to many people that that they don't claim to be Christians or whatever, and I've asked them to forgive me. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have acted like that. And, you know, just because when we say something or do something that we shouldn't have done, I always say to man up, but, you know, if you're a woman, you have to woman up, you know. Just be honest. You know, and it's interesting that we live in a society that is very forgiving. That when, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, different people that, you know, different celebrities, sports stars or whatever, when they come to the American people, ask them for forgiveness and ask them, you know, that we're very forgiving. You know, we forget about a lot of things, especially if you can throw a football really well. You know, or you can, you know, if you can do something really well, then, you know, and you're a good athlete, then we're very forgiving because you're a good athlete. In fact, you know, we let a lot of athletes get away with a lot of stuff because, you know, they're a good athlete. You know, we're very forgiving. But, you know, and I'm not saying we shouldn't be forgiving because God's forgiving. You realize that every time you come to God, he forgives you. Every time, there's not one time that God will never he won't forgive you. He said, no, enough is enough. You've already passed 70 times 7. God's never going, you know, he always forgives you. And, you know, but sometimes, too, we also have to forgive ourselves. You know, sometimes we mess up. Sometimes we, you know, we make a mess out of something that we didn't have to or we shouldn't have. You know what? Just forget about it. Move forward. There are sometimes, you know what, when you and the other person have fought so much or bickered, you know, because here's the deal. When one person says something mean, then what normal reaction is to say something mean back. And then this person says something mean, you say something mean, and before you know it, a lot of people said a lot of things that are very hurtful, and sometimes it would take a lot to even be friends anymore. But at some point in time, what we have to do is we just have to forget about what was done, and we have to hit reset and start over. You know, and like I said, and if we're man enough or woman enough, you know, just to say, you know what? Man, we got off on the wrong foot. Let's just start over. I mean, you know, we're Christians. We love each other, and we can move forward in this situation. You know, because there's so many times that we let strife hinder us. You know, and there's so many times that people walk into a room, and there's somebody there that they have some kind of issue with. And because they have an issue with that room, they can't even be normal. They can't act normal. They can only talk to certain people, and you know, and they're if their friends are talking to that person, then they're mad at their friends because they're talking to that person, and you're mad at this person. And, you know, and it's interesting how in life a lot of times that we have certain friends and we want our friends to be mad at somebody because they did something to us, and but they haven't done anything to them. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's kind of stupid. And the deal is that you know, I've gone in rooms a lot of times and where people even have said something, you know, maybe something mean about something, you know. And what I do is, if in order to, you know, I just go to that person and talk to them. I mean, not about the issue, just be normal. I just try to be normal. You know, I don't let, you know, anything get between me. Something that, you know, we don't read a lot, you know, like I said, the keynote scripture of this ministry is Mark 11, 23 and 24. But Mark 11, 25 says a lot of things too. And I don't know if you've ever read that before. Mark 11, 25, says this. It says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. I like the original King James version of this scripture. And it says, Mark 11, 25 says, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Now, a lot of people don't know what ought is. You know, because I've seen people a lot of times said, well, I've forgiven them, but I haven't forgot about it. You know, and going back to a room setting, if you walk into a room and there's someone there that you supposedly have forgiven, but you don't want to be around that person, you can't stand being around that person, then you're probably still holding ought. And you ought to let it go. That's why I like the New King James, I like the word ought. Get rid of all your ought. All right? If you walk into a room and somebody's there that you have an issue with, then that's your problem. All right, you got to get rid of that. That's called walking in love. And you say, well, how do I do that? You know what? You just be like Jesus would do, and you decide that you're just going to let it go. You know, we said, you know, obviously some of you have probably heard that song from Frozen. If you have grandkids or kids or whatever, you know, let it go, let it go. Maybe you should sing that for yourself sometimes. You know, when you have issues, just let it go. You know, and, you know, so many times, you know, it seems that we let things come between us. You know, we don't have to. I mean, I've seen really good friends let something come between them. Next thing you know, they're arguing, complaining, and they're arguing, complaining online. And, you know, and for what? You know, sometimes I get it. Sometimes we don't walk in love. Sometimes we mess up. Sometimes we say things we shouldn't. But you know what? Forget it. Move forward. Move on. You know, and then, like I said, I mean, I've read many people, like I said, have gone online and they're mad at themselves because they can't walk in love. Yes, they can. You know, they can if they just quit trying. Quit trying to walk in love. I mean, I don't try to walk in love. I just walk in love. I just let God, you know, abound in my life. You know, whenever I live my life, I really think about how Christ would do things. And I try to do things for the most part like Jesus would do them. I'm not 100%, you know, I mean, I'm not perfect. There are some times that I don't do things that are Christ-like. In fact, sometimes that I even think about that, or if someone said, well, would Jesus do that? I'm like, well, he probably wouldn't have. You know, we're not perfect. And don't get mad at yourself because you're not perfect. All right, just understand you're not perfect. You know, that sometimes that takes you a long time to figure out you're not perfect. You know, sometimes you need to understand, hey, I'm not perfect. But you know, I'm going to do the best I can about walking in love. You know, sometimes we're going to mess up. Sometimes we're not. But, you know, when we do mess up, then we should make up. Now, my grandfather always said this. He met with some lady in his church, and this lady was griping because she said, you know, that, well, number one, she was trying to tell Brother Hagin, my grandfather, that you know, that she was one of the best Christians in the church. You know, the Bible does say not to think of yourself more highly than you ought. But she was, you know, complaining because she was saying that there was, you know, another family in the church that it seems that, you know what, every time that they got sick, they got healed, you know, really quickly. And every time that the good Christian family here got sick, they didn't get healed real quickly. And, you know, but my grandfather pointed out, said, you know, that family there said, you know, they're quick to forgive and they're quick to repent. You know, and he said that's a big key, to be quick to forgive and quick to repent. And, you know, it's interesting that's really walking in love. You know, when you understand that we do something that's not what we should do, I mean, just, you know, get rid of that. Ask God to forgive you, ask the person to forgive you, and move forward. You know, sometimes once you do that, it's interesting. You know, you like lift a weight off your shoulders just by talking to somebody. Just by, you know, quote unquote, clearing the air. Now, if you go to quote unquote clear the air and just want to argue more, that's not clearing the air. That's just making the air more dirty. You know, and the thing about it is, you know, it's not worth it. It's not worth it to whenever you're upset with each other, there's, you know, I don't know, at least I just don't feel right on the inside. You know, when there's contention between me and somebody else, it bothers me. You know, I know one thing that, you know, especially if it's between you and your husband and wife, I mean, you know, my adage is never go to bed when you're mad at each other. You know, so work it out. You know, in love. All right. And one big thing is communication, because a lot of times what happens is people don't want to communicate. They want to talk about it. They just want to move on. But, you know, communication is the key to everything. But walking in love is very important. But, you know, it's not about trying to do things in your own strength, because I know a lot of people, they say, well, I just can't do it. I can't do it. Now, I can never say I can't, because I know I can, because I have the Bible. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And see, that's the key. Let Christ be your strength. Let Christ help you. Let him help you walk in love. Let him help you have a better attitude. You know, I know the world today is a hateful place. And, you know, if you can't watch the news without getting upset, then quit watching the news. All right, if you can't, you know, do something without getting upset, you know, because, you know, people get upset about everything. Do you realize that part of the newscaster's responsibility is to make you upset? Yeah. I mean, that's part of the responsibility. They want to make you relax somehow. They want to make you relax and, you know, either be upset or you're, you know, or whatever. I mean, that's part of me, because when people, a lot of times people watch the news, they get afraid, you know, or whatever. I mean, you know, yeah, I mean, we're going to go to nuclear war with North Korea and all this kind of stuff. And but, you know, that's just the news people they try to give you doomsday, whatever. They try to, you know, it's interesting how they try to stir up hate a lot of times. You know, and sometimes I'm wondering, where do these people come from that they find the interview anyway? But the thing about it is that God is love, and that we have to love people regardless whether they act right, they do right, they live right. You know, I mean, I love people. You know, something that happened this past week, many of you obviously probably heard that Hugh Hefner passed away. And, you know, somebody posted on Facebook that he heard a couple of ministers laughing because they were laughing, said that he was burning in hell. Well, you know, that's pretty sad to laugh about anybody burning in hell. Regardless, but also too, it's not for us to judge. I mean, I get it. As man looks outward, appearance, God looks on the heart. I mean, you know, from the outside, maybe we don't think maybe he made it to heaven. But you know what? That's not for us to judge. And even whether he did or wasn't, he didn't. You know, the fact of the matter, if somebody's in hell, then that doesn't make me happy. That makes me sad that nobody was able to reach him or talk to him or help him or whatever. But, you know, I can't judge the man's heart. You know, and I'm not here to judge his heart, neither are you. And the fact to laugh about something and think it's funny, you know, is despicable. I mean, because I don't hear, you know, that's the one thing that's, you know, not really cool when you know people are dying and going to hell. I mean, I know one of their pastors. He's in Alaska, and he was in the military, and he was a colonel or something. I don't know. Anyway, he was high ranking officials in the military, and I asked him one time. I said, "Have you ever did you serve in the Middle East?" He said, "Well, not officially." What do you mean not officially? Well, you know, not, I wasn't officially there. I said, so you're saying you were there, but you weren't officially there. Basically, he was at a command center on an island, and one of his jobs actually was to send bombs, to blow up stuff, and he was the one that actually was the one who would give the go and stuff. And so the first time that they had a situation like that where they bombed a certain place and 23 people lost their life, everybody in the command center started cheering and all that, and they were all excited, and he stopped everybody because he was the head. He says, no, it's not a time to cheer because some people just went to hell. You know, and it wasn't a time to cheer. And I said, well, did you ever have trouble, doing your orders? He said, no, I've always felt that what we did was necessary and doing what we should do. He says, it's just pretty, it's an eerie thing, knowing that what I do might send people to hell, because they lost their life. And, man, it's not fun to think about that. And but that's part of walking in love. And I don't want anyone to go to hell. I don't care who they are. You know, I don't care who they are. I don't care what they've done. I'm thankful for what God has allowed us to do in the prison ministry. We have a great prison ministry. Many people, have been saved, and maybe they still eventually die. They have to be put to death in an electric chair. But I know that they made some changes in their life at the last stages of their life. And it's it's awesome that our God is merciful. And our God loves them. Thank God he's merciful, because, if he wasn't merciful, think where some of us would be, if he wasn't merciful. But, and the thing about it is, if we've received much mercy, then we should give much mercy. And, walking in love is not hard to do. It's just, you have to decide, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to try my best to walk more in love. Now, if you're someone that pushes someone's buttons, then you're going to have to quit pushing people's buttons. It's not that hard. And I believe it's very important. Like I said, the two commands that we were given is to love the Lord our God with all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, and to love our neighbors as ourself. On these two commands hang all the laws and all the prophets. And it's not that hard. I hope I don't read any more about people having trouble walking in love. Because if I'm a Christian, I don't have trouble walking in love. I love people. There's no one I do not love. I always tell people all the time, I mean, you know, some people, well, you know, would you go eat with that person? Absolutely. I would go eat with anybody. You say, well, yeah, but they don't believe the way you believe. I don't care. I would still eat with them. You know, I would love the opportunity to be able to sit down and enjoy a dinner and be able to talk. I mean, you know, why would that be a bad thing? You know, and it's interesting that Jesus wasn't afraid to eat with certain people. People that thought, Jesus shouldn't be around that person. I would love to be around people that maybe, you know, need to hear the love of Jesus. But because I know that you know, that what I have on the inside is very important. And I try to do everything in love. Everything I do, I try to do it in love. I try to, you know, even coming down to it, I'm not always the best at it in the world, but even if you have to get on to some of your employees, you know, if you're a boss at work, try to do it in love. Do you realize you can get mad at people, you know, one way, and then you can get mad at people in love. All right? I mean, you can just tear them down or you can build them up. It's, you know, there's two ways to do it. And, you know, and we should do better about walking in love. And like I said, you can do it. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for everything that you've done in our life. And Father, we thank you that you'll help us to be able to walk in love when we face situations and circumstances in our life when other people are not walking in love toward us. Help us to be able to walk in love back and turn the other cheek, so to speak, sometimes. Help us to not stir up strife or condemnation, but help us to be able to just be an imitator of Christ when it comes to walking in love. Father God, we thank you for each and every person that's here today, and we thank you, Father, that if anyone is here does not know Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, that they won't leave this place until they make him Lord and Savior of their life. If you're here tonight and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I can't walk in the love of Jesus because I don't know Jesus. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, at one time I walked with the Lord, but I've kind of turned my back and went away. I want to come back home again tonight. If you're here today and you've never been saved or you want to rededicate yourself to God, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Father God, we thank you if anyone is here that does not know Jesus. We thank you, Father, for sending laborers across our path on a daily basis. And we thank you for everything that you're doing in each and every person's life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.